Hey there, it's Carl Richards, and I want to tell you about one of the podcasts I listen to on a regular basis. It's called A Healthier You, Little by Little by Cindy Little. Cindy has years of experience in the health and wellness industry, and her show looks at health issues of today, everything from stubborn weight loss, lack of energy, lack of sleep, motivation, and accountability tips too. So shape up with A Healthier You, Little by Little with Cindy Little. You'll find the link to the podcast in the show notes. Welcome to Podcast Solutions Made Simple. It's the podcast that's all about podcasting. I'm your host, Carl Richards. You know, in my 25 plus years in the broadcast and speaking world, I've noticed a lot of overwhelm when it comes to podcasting. And I'm here to tell you, it doesn't have to be that way. If you're a coach, consultant, or other subject matter expert, and the thought of starting a podcast seems too technical, too confusing, too time-consuming, or just way out of your reach, then this is the podcast for you. On this show, we give you the tools, tips, and techniques to run a kick-ass show and share stories from people who have been there, done that, and are enjoying massive success with their own shows. Oh, and if you're an existing podcaster, this show is also for you. The mics are up, so let's dive into today's episode. And today on the podcast, what we're doing is we're taking a look at another type of podcast. You know, there are many different kinds of podcasts out there. There are solo podcasts, there are interview-based podcasts, there are round robin type podcasts. But one of the things we haven't talked about is the fact that there are, even beyond the ones that we just mentioned, there are other types of podcasts. There are docudramas, there are more old school radio drama type podcasts. So no surprise, there are theatric type podcasts. And our guest today is going to be talking about that a little bit and how he got into this space to begin with. So let's meet Sonny Drake. Sonny Drake was described on Broadway World as one of Canada's brightest playwrights. His inventive and multi-award-winning theater works have been presented in over 60 cities across the world and translated into six languages. That's pretty impressive. His wide range of audiences have spanned international arts festivals goers, queers in underground warehouses, seniors in regional theaters, and young people in drop-in centers as well. So please welcome Sonny Drake. How are you, Sonny?
I'm doing pretty good, thanks, Kyle. How about yourself?
I'm fantastic. And it's great to have you here, my friend. It's great to talk to another podcaster, number one. And it's great to talk to somebody who has obviously a passion for theater. And this is where this whole thing began, because you have a theater background. Why the podcasting world? What brought you here?
I mean, I think we all know some of the significant events of the last few years. And, you know, the pandemic really just threw such a curveball into my whole industry. You know, all of my peers and colleagues were in the middle of theater shows when literally overnight theaters shut their doors. And so we all kind of had to start exploring and figuring out, okay, well, what are we going to do, you know, while theaters are closed? And in some of the digital explorations that I started to kind of experiment with, I actually just got enthusiastic about radio drama and audio drama as a form of its own. So now even, you know, I've since had live productions back in actual theaters, but I'm really excited about, you know, this podcasting and audio world. I mean, it's really sort of akin to, you know, pre-TV, you know, families and friends used to sit around the radio and listen to radio drama, or even, you know, wind back further and people sitting around a campfire telling story. And so this just kind of really feels like an interesting format to kind of just like a movie for your ears. So really kind of creating these stories and these fictional worlds using entirely sound that people can listen to either on their own or in groups of people.
I spent 25 years in radio broadcasting, so I totally understand what you're saying. And that's why for years, radio has been described as theater of the mind. And, you know, really with what you're doing by taking theater and putting it into the podcast format, I guess you could say, it's existed for a while, but I don't think it's had nearly the same appeal that it has had, as you've already indicated, since the pandemic and people like, you know, yourself who a performer, you're used to a physical stage. Now, all of a sudden, global pandemic hits, everything is sealed up tight like a drum, and now you have to reinvent yourself. What better format than a podcast? So firstly, I do want to find out more about the project, but I want to talk about the theater format for podcasting. Give me a breakdown of how that sort of comes together. What are some of the things that you have to go through or that you've been through in creating this space for theater, so to speak?
Yeah, well, I mean, this project, also the quite unique component of it is that There are 9 creative teams from around the world. So I've worked with each of the 9 teams to write their own script. And unlike a live show where, you know, you're writing a script for a stage, I really worked with each of them to create it very specifically for an audio format. And so that's a little different when you were talking earlier about different types of podcasts that, you know, people are a lot more familiar with, more like a sort of an audio book. So where, you know, somebody, an actor is reading out the sort of narrative, you know, as though you're kind of, it's literally a book that you could be flicking through on the page, but they're reading it out loud and they're kind of taking on different voices for the different characters. So this is a little different than that, in that our actors, we have, you know, a range of professional actors who are entirely, you know, the works are kind of using entirely dialogue or sound. So it's less like someone's sort of there and telling you a story and more like you're actually immersed in the world itself. So that really meant that it involved a whole process working with the creative teams to create a script that was suitable for audio, and then working with actors and production team to really kind of bring that script off the page into this audio world, and working with sound designers as well. And the particular part of that too being, because there were these 9 teams around the world, that's involved a lot of coordination between us all.
In this type of podcast style, I guess we can say, is there any leeway or any opportunity for what we're doing right now, speaking off the cuff, or is it literally scripted verbatim? We have to follow the script to the letter just so everybody is on board. Does it follow the path? I guess what I'm asking, does it follow the path of some of those old radio dramas where it's literally a script?
Yeah. So each episode, so it's called Climate Change and Other Small Talk, this project, and each episode will have the sort of the more off the cuff part will be myself as the host kind of giving an introduction to the episode to kind of give us a little bit of context and understand, you know, what part of the world is this coming from, what some of the context of the themes in the episode. And then when we go into the audio drama, it's very scripted. It's actors who are, you know, performing the words off the page.
And within that, I'm assuming then there's the whole process, just like in theater or in writing plays, which you're obviously very familiar with. There's character development. There's, you know, making sure that the right person is playing that character, all of those things.
Absolutely.
That all factors into that.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's been a whole process then in working with these 9 companies around the world to, you know, pick the right people and have some sort of kind of things. I mean, all of the, like a thematic tie-in as well, you know. And that thematic tie-in really is using story to kind of dig into climate themes. And particularly also, you know, making sure to use the kind of style of the works as a hook into audiences. And that's something that, you know, you may have explored in your other episodes, is really kind of thinking, okay, who is your audience? Who are you hoping to engage? And what are some of, not only what they might be looking for, but what are some of the barriers to them accessing your type of content? And in this example with climate change and other small talk, I mean, most people know about the climate crisis. Most people care about what's going on. And, you know, a lot of people are very overwhelmed. When you look at the news, it's bad news, like difficult topics. And people are pretty anxious and stressed out about the climate. So with this series, then, you know, we really are using humor and satire and absurdity within the stories as a way to go to bring people in and sort of go, hey, you know, this is going to be a really different way to engage with this scary topic. And so drawing audiences in with humor and satire.
That's one of the things I wanted to ask you, because as you were talking about that, I'm thinking, okay, is this a serious dramatization of the issue, or is there a satirical, you know, humor-based approach to it? And the example I can think of, and this is a very old Canadian educational program that was done years ago, I'm thinking late 1960s, early 1970s, called The Rise and Fall of the Great Lakes. I don't know if you've ever seen it, if you're familiar with it, but in that it shows this paddler, and I wish I could remember his name. If I can think of it, I'll make sure that I post a link in the show notes as well as all your information as well. But it talks about the rise and fall the Great Lakes. How do these things called the Great Lakes come to be? And not only how do they come to be, but what is, speaking of climate change, what is the state of the Great Lakes as of the filming of that particular piece, which was done on, you know, 16 by 9. It was done on film. But because it's aimed at school-aged kids, it was a very humorous approach, but the message was still, oh yeah, right. There is
absolutely
an issue. Yeah. So it sounds like this project is taking that same kind of approach.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, I really find, I mean, across most of my theater works, if you can draw people in through humor, you can actually get away with an enormous amount in terms of how challenging you can make the content and where you can kind of take people, because laughter is such a release and a relief, and also can kind of, you know, relax us into talking about some actually very difficult things. So that's definitely been a really important part of our approach.
This goes beyond the podcast itself. There's the podcast, and then there's the next step. It's the leveraging what happens after or in spite of maybe the podcast. So talk about that a little bit, because it's not just the podcast recording. There's more pieces to it.
Absolutely. And this is something coming from my live theater background that I've been really excited about, is the fusion of, okay, I'm loving podcasting and audio as a medium, but then also kind of saying, okay, how and when and where do people engage with that audio content? And so for Climate Change and Other Small Talk, for example, we have our 9 partner theater companies around the world who are all hosting live events. And each of them look a little different depending on what makes sense in their local area. But as an example, a number of them are doing listening parties. So where they are gathering together people in a venue, in an event space. And it's back to that similar sort of idea of kind of sitting around the campfire telling story. Except instead of, you know, telling story, you know, on stage, it's people listening to these episodes together. And from having done this with one other project, a really fascinating thing happens when you gather people to listen to audio as a medium. Because unlike when you're going to live theater, where, you know, everyone's sitting in the dark and watching the stage, and it would be very impolite to side chatter, for example, it's now kind of getting people into this space, listening together. And there's sort of almost an awkward period of, you know, a kind of a minute or so where people are like, oh, I don't know where to look. I'm just here with kind of my friends or these strangers sitting around and together. But then people really relaxed into this space of starting to kind of like be there together with each other in a very different way. And then that's a really fascinating way too, to kind of feed backwards and forwards between, okay, so one approach is, you know, for marketing of a podcast is, okay, make it and put it out online and sort of see what catches on. Another approach is to actually have all of these things happening offline in person that then get an audience enthused and really excited about the podcast offering. But then also, unlike a theater show, where when you've gone and seen something that you're like, oh my God, that was so brilliant or so funny or so sharp, you go away and you try to tell your family and friends and you're trying to describe it, but you can never actually share that experience with them because they weren't there. This way, people are having this offline experience, getting excited about the work, and then they have an immediate, they leave and they press share and they share it on social media or other places where people can then directly experience an aspect of what they've experienced, which is the podcast itself.
That's actually very cool. And the whole concept of listening parties is nothing new. Mm-hmm. I believe they've had them in the 1950s and 1960s around, except obviously there was no digital space. It was all analog and people would listen to recorded messages on either magnetic tape or on record of some type of message or something about, oh, I don't know, name it, cigarette smoking or, you know, things around the family, whatever it was. So the concept of the listening party is nothing new, but what is new is how you're taking the podcast, as you've said, that's been put out there. It's been probably hammered through social media and email lists and stuff like that. But now you're inviting people to a physical space to listen to the show, to then also go out and promote and share and like and all of those things.
Absolutely. And also providing them. So we're in the middle of coming up with a discussion guide and a how to host your own listening party guide. So by the time people are listening to this episode of yours, people will be able to download you know, suggestions for how to gather their own friends together in a living room to listen to this together, how to host a really lively and engaging and fascinating dinner party that no one will ever forget, because you're not only just sitting around, you know, drinking wine and eating your meal, but you have, you know, you could pick an episode that you particularly liked or that you thought would be interesting for this group to discuss. You have your dinner, you press play on the listening party, and then you also have a kind of discussion guide with some ideas for how to facilitate conversation about this. And so, you know, providing then those tools for then people to kind of go out and do that work for you of spreading this conversation and really of activating and enlivening this conversation. Because whilst I absolutely love podcasting as a format, what I think adds a really interesting dimension is when there are tools for people to encourage people to actually engage in conversation with each other about the podcast, rather than just sort of listen on their own and then stew in their own thoughts about it.
And what you're doing is you're taking two completely, you know, non-related formats, I guess you could say, or ways of communication, and bringing them together. And we actually, at Podcast Solutions Made Simple, we're doing that now in a very similar fashion, not to this extent, but we're encouraging people when they launch their podcasts to not just launch online and do that, but to actually have either an in-person, we're actually encouraging an in-person launch for their show, where they launch their show in person. They have an audience, even if there's only 10, 15 people in the room. If you can stream it and do it virtually at the same time, even better. But so that way you get your audience right up front. This is going far beyond that, but what a concept to not only draw awareness to what it is that you're doing, but to continuously invite people into the space with the whole listen party. And that's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun. And also really kind of inviting people to come up with their own locally based ideas and different formats for these gatherings. So, okay, so the listening party was one idea. Another possibility being, you know, encouraging arts organizations to create some sort of installation that uses the podcast episodes in a way that adds this whole other dimension, this kind of installation-y dimension, or hosting a panel of kids discussing one of the episodes with their grandparents, or, you know, hosting like activist groups, because this is climate themed as well, local activist groups, you know, utilizing this as part of their campaigns. So really kind of looking at, okay, we've got this offering, which is these 9 episodes that use story, humor, absurdity, and satire to dig into climate themes, and then coming up with some initial ideas for other people, how they can utilize them in their own communities, and then also just letting them run with it too and craft and create, you know, unique sort of locally based ways to kind of activate or bring this podcast to life in different ways.
So for people who are listening to this episode, scratching their heads going, I wonder if I could do something like that, or wow, what a concept. What are some of the lessons learned as you've done the dive into this type of project?
I mean, I guess, you know, one thing, if you're thinking about going down the audio drama route, then, you know, certainly kind of involving all the right creative people for that. That's a whole sort of endeavor in and of itself. But if it's more like folks who are interested to kind of go down the idea of local listening parties or other sort of in-person events, then, I mean, I think just a key thing being really making sure you're kind of testing out that idea and concept. Mm-hmm. So, you know, make contact with a bunch of different groups or individuals and kind of, you know, try out, okay, here's the style of episode that I have. How do you think you might be able to use this in an in-person event? Also, making sure you're asking early enough that those answers can actually potentially impact the content of the piece as well, you know, or impact how you're going to develop your guidelines and things. So, for example, in this work, you know, we have a climate impact producer, and her role has been really to kind of make these partnerships and bridges between climate groups. And she also has read through all of the scripts and everything and flagged, okay, this part of the drama or this part of your intro as host, Sunny, is, you know, not quite in step with latest thinking about, you know, from climate leaders, and then sort of allowing enough time that that can actually impact so that we're creating a really great series that is informed by and relevant to people on the ground.
It's a phenomenal undertaking, and I'm certainly thrilled that you've had a chance to come on the show and share it today. What would you like to pass on to the audience? I mean, we'll make sure that the links are posted for this particular program. Is there anything else that you'd like to add or pass on to them? Or just make sure that we're letting them know about this project and how they can tap into it?
Yeah. I mean, I think my biggest encouragement is for folks to just really start talking with family and friends more about the climate crisis. You know, like I said earlier, so many people are so overwhelmed that it can sort of become very isolating in your own mind of anxiety. And my hope with climate change and other small talk is that this is one of many offerings, and please, like, you know, search for other things as well that can really be that sort of tool for you to engage in conversations, to engage in conversations in not a judgy or didactic way, but in a way that actually, you know, asks people, how are they feeling about this? What are they doing about this? Would they like to join you in trying to figure out something to do together? Because one of the real key messages of this podcast as well is to steer away from small individual actions and to really kind of bring people into larger conversations about working on things together. Because one person starting to recycle is not going to, you know, turn this ship around. We need people actually actively getting involved in climate campaigns to tackle these things together. And so, you know, that's just my biggest encouragement, is to really start talking about it with each other and finding the tools, whether it's my podcast series or other things, finding the tools and the interesting and vibrant ways to be able to have these conversations.
And we'll make sure that obviously all the links for project and all your other information is posted in the show notes. Sunny, it's been an amazing conversation. Sunny Drake has been my guest today. Before I turn you loose into the world, I'll give you the final thought.
Oh, the final thought. My final thought is take action.
I love it.
Whatever way that is for you, get out there and take some action in your own life and your podcasting, but also, like I said, you know, throwing down to kind of create some really great change in the world.
All right. I think we'll leave it right there. Sunny Drake, it's been a great discussion. Thanks for being my guest today.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Carl.
And thank you for joining us today. Special thanks to our producer, Aiden Burrows, our production lead, Kieran Doherty, our music guru, Nathan Simon, and the person who works the arms, all of our arms, actually, my trusty assistant, Stephanie Gafoor. If you like what you heard today, leave us a comment and a review, and be sure to share it with your friends. If you don't like what you heard, please share it with your enemies. Oh, and if you have a suggestion of someone who you think would make an amazing guest on the show, let us know about it. Drop us an email, askcarl@carlspeaks.ca. Don't forget to follow us on LinkedIn and Twitter as well. You'll find all those links in the show notes. And if you're ready to take the plunge and join the over 3 million people who have said yes to podcasting, let's have a conversation. We'll show you the simplest way to get into the podcasting space, because after all, we're Podcast Solutions Made Simple. We'll catch you next time.